Excellent. I don't know. We'll talk to them. But let's go like we always do. We always enjoy the fellowship. And plus, they don't have room for us. It's not big enough out there either. It's a new one. It's kind of tiny. But anyway, everybody plan on going to eat with us Wednesday night. If you announced that we was going to a place that I absolutely hated, I'd go. Because I love y'all and I want to be around you. I'd eat some. I'd drink me a milkshake or something. Don't be doggone picky, man. Here, people, you find fault with the Lord's Supper. You know what your problem is? You don't fast enough. That's why you can't find a restaurant you like. People always complain about every restaurant. They ain't been hungry in 10 years. Go ahead, brother. What you need, monitor? No mic. No monitor. We miss our professional
Amen.
Sound, man.
That's pretty good.
Amen.
Hey, man, the Lord's been good to me. This song Amen. Just says, look, you know, we get to complaining and murmuring and whining. And the truth is, if the Lord never did anything else for us, we got enough to praise Him for and to thank Him for and to live for Him if He never did anything else for us. And that's kind of what this song says. The Lord has been so good to me. It'd take eternity to tell all the miracles I've seen. You see, goodness and mercy have followed me so long that no matter tomorrow, could still sing this song. And if He never bless me again, I can shout from now to the end. I'd shout on where I was to where I am for all He's done. That precious Lamb, He never bless me again. Now I'm not saying that He would ever leave me. Oh, the Scripture says plainly that He'd always love me. And really, there's a good chance His blessings will fall. But just like old Job, I want to serve Him through it all. And if He never bless me again, I could shout from now to the end. I'd shout on where I was to where I am for all He's done. Oh, that precious Lamb, if He never bless me again. I'd shout on where I was to where I am for all He's done. Oh, that precious Lamb, if He never bless me again.
Amen. Amen. And that's the truth tonight. The Lord never blessed you again. If He never blessed you one more time, you ought to shout every day of your life that you're not going to hell. That's right. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to see you here this evening. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 6 tonight. And I'm going to take just a few minutes. I know this is a very busy time of year, and all of you got things going on. I do want to remind you to get signed up for the Alabama trip. If you're going to youth camp, it's right there. We've done got, I don't know how many people going, probably 20 or so. And we want to have a big group go, and Lord willing, we're going to have a great time. And Alabama, they're bringing a bunch from Ruffin. Brother Scott is bringing the crew, and Jason Keeper's coming up from Florida, and other folks are coming from different places. We are excited about it. We also are going to be announcing the dates of a youth rally next year. I think it's April 25th, 6th, and 7th. And youth camp will more than likely be, I think, July 7th, but I'll know that tomorrow or the next day, the week right after the 4th of July. So just like it was last year. So we're excited about that. The Lord don't come. Be going to camp this summer. Looking forward to it. Luke chapter 6 tonight. Look at verse 30. Luke chapter 6 and verse 30. I'm just going to bring you a little thought here tonight. Won't take just a few minutes. You'll give me attention. We're going to have a little quick meeting with our bus workers and the folks going to Alabama. So let's look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 30. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. It don't say do other people the same way they do you. So if he does me wrong, I'll do him wrong. It says do them the way you want them to do you. Big difference there, isn't it? People say, if they do me wrong, I'll bust in. You bust me, I'll bust you. It says we're supposed to treat people the way we want them to treat us. That's not always easy. When it's your sister, your brother, or that woman you work with that nobody can't stand, or your boss, or that kid at school that's all smart aleck, do them like you want them to do you. Look at verse 32. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? If sinners do them, anybody can do that. Christians are supposed to be able to do something special. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them to whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good. My goodness, think about that. And lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Bible said God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. You ought to thank God for that, because that includes us a lot of times. Look at verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. That's some good advice right there. You want God to be good to you? You treat other people like you want God to treat you. You want God to go easy on you? Go easy on your family. Go easy on your dad and mom. Go easy on your brother and your sister. You say, oh, I'll tell you one thing. They say one more thing to me. Is that the way you want God to do you? No. You want the Lord to be merciful to you. You want God to be merciful to you? You be merciful to other people. You'll reap what you sow. And it says give and give and give. I want to preach for a few minutes tonight on what's on your shopping list. Who you got on your shopping list and what? Now, I know my name's up there close to the top, but the Lord's supposed to be first, then Brother Danny, and then we're going to go on down from there. Those are givens. That's what the Bible said. Now we're going to talk about some other things tonight, but I'm just kidding. I want to ask you, what is on your shopping list? What is on your shopping list? I don't do this usually. I know who I'm supposed to buy stuff for, and I go and I got it in my head. But a lot of people, they make out a list. Grandma, cousin so-and-so, the kids, the brothers and sisters, papa, uncle so-and-so. Oh, I better get, oh yeah, I might as well put him on there. If I don't get her something, she'll get mad. And they make out a list of who they're going to buy something for Christmas. How many of you have made some kind of a list this year? Wrote it down. Raise your hand, please. Oh yeah, about all the women have. Very few men. You just say, here, go get it and get it over with. Hand her some money and tell her to go on. But anyway, what's on your shopping list tonight? I want to say a few things about it this evening. People fuss and argue, and man, some man got trampled to death at Walmart in the Christmas spirit, you know. Some lady was beating this guy. One girl grabbed this other girl by the hair, and she was screaming, quack, 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 and was beating her like that and tased her. Well, that'd have tased her, brother. That's a real Christmas spirit out there. You got that Xbox, electrocute them. Send them on into eternity. Right there. But anyway, I want to say three or four things about it tonight. I want to say, how about this? How about the Lord Jesus Christ? He ought to be at the top of our list. It's supposed to be His birthday to start with, you know. And what are you going to give to Him? What are you going to give to the Lord Jesus tonight? The Lord said one time, as you have done it to the least of these, you have done it to me. And you know why I sat up here this morning and said, I'm going to give $100 to the bus kid? And I done gave mine, and several more did tonight. Because Jesus said, when you do it to the least of these, you're doing it to me. We can't literally take $100 and take it to heaven to Jesus. He don't want it. He don't need $100 up there. I tell you what, them little kids this morning, one of our ladies was telling me about some before church tonight, said some of our kids, I guess come regular, don't they, Cap? They said that they live in a house, six kids in one house, and they have no heat. Kids come to church here every Sunday, no heat. They've opened the oven and run the oven and put a fan in front of it to heat out with six kids. And now, hardly no clothes. They're getting them some clothes. Some of the folks in the church getting them clothes. I've got clothes over there in my office tonight. And that's going to another family. And you know what? You know what? When you do something for somebody that's poor, and a lot of people have this attitude, even Christians, that, well, them people ought to know better. They ought to get out and get them a job. That's true. But it ain't them kids' fault. When they're 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and they want something for Christmas, when you give it to them, you're giving it to the Lord. He ought to be first on our shopping list. I'm telling you tonight, we ought to get the Lord something. And you know how to get the Lord something? Do something to the church. By the way, the church is the body of Christ. You give something special to the church, you're giving it to the Lord. I don't have that much patience with this crowd that has no use for the church. Listen, as a matter of fact, the Bible teaches that the Lord died for the church. The Lord died for the church. He's coming back for the church. I don't even have any patience with somebody that won't call their church a church. A church, the church. The word church ain't nothing to be ashamed of. It's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ upon this earth, and I am proud to be associated with the word church. Amen? This is not a worship center. This is not a worship house. We do worship here. I'm going to tell you what this is tonight. It is a church. The Lord died for the church. He's coming back for the church. He promised to bless the church. And what everybody ought to do is get you a good Bible-believing, soul-winning church and join it and become a part of it and put your money in it and support the church. That's what stood the test of time. I don't have no confidence in these movie stars that say, oh, they're all this big Christian and everything and don't go to church. Even some of these gospel singers, they sing Friday night and Saturday night and go to the beach on Sunday and don't even go to church, brother. Listen, a singing group ought to have a church that they belong to and support that church and pay their tithes and sit in Sunday school and raise their kids in it just like all the rest of us. The President of the United States ought to have his girls in Sunday school and sit in a Sunday school class and hear the preaching of the Bible just like everybody else. Everybody in the world that's saved ought to be a part of a good Bible-believing church. You want to do something for the Lord? Do something for the church. You say, well, how can I give something to the Lord? He's in heaven. Give it to his body. That's the church. Give it to a little child. See these things right here? I've been playing with these. Some of you think this is a dollar bill, but it's actually a little track, you know. Them's fun. They make them in dollars, they make them in 20, and you open it up, and it says, some things are better than money, and it gives you the plan of salvation. And I took them to the airport yesterday. I'd drop them like that right there, you know. You can drop them and just go over here and say, oh, you watch people. You watch people. They'll look down like, you know, do like it right there. What a surprise they get. Like when they opened it up and said, some things are better than money. That's what you get. Amen. But you know what? Yeah, they got 20s. They got 100s. That looked like this. It's a lot of fun and a good way to witness. But you know what? Some things are better than money. Some things are better than money. Best Christmas I ever had in my life was the first Christmas I got saved, and I'd been saved about from April till December. Somebody gave me that book by Salem Kerbin called 666, and I got into that, buddy. I'd never heard nothing like that. And I read about Jesus coming and Christians disappearing and the mark of the beast and the Antichrist, the 666. I went, whoa, Lord have mercy. I mean to tell you, I loved it. I went down to the play practice, and old Charlie Pride, y'all remember Charlie Pride? He come out with a Christmas song, and his Christmas song was, out of the east came riding, riding.
And they're talking about the wise men coming out like that, you know. Remember, I'll never forget that song. I thought it was crazy back then. But I remember we went down there, and I absolutely loved Christmas. Absolutely loved it. I sometimes take some candy, and I'll get a bunch of boxes of candy, cheap candy, it's out of date. You can get it at the dollar store, something like that. And I go down Hoppy Tom, my road, and just knock on the door and say, "Here you go, Merry Christmas." I did it last year. I had fun. I really did. I had fun. You know what? Do something for the Lord. When you're out doing something for the Lord like that, you'll get a blessing this Christmas. Don't just sit around and say, "Well, I'm going to get this, and I want to get that. And if I don't get this, I'm going to be mad. And if I don't get that, I'm going to be disappointed." Get your mind off yourself and say, "What am I going to do for the Lord this year?" Amen. Number two, here's something put on your list. Pay up some old debt. You owe somebody some money, pay them. Say amen right there. That's right. There's been more people hurt in church. I don't recommend that anybody in here loan anybody money. We got enough trouble. I mean, it happens, don't it? Don't it happen? And see, you think, "Well, they're a Christian. They should understand that I can't pay them." And then they're over here saying, "They're supposed to be a Christian. They ought to pay their bill." And they're both getting mad at each other. You've heard me tell this story before. Years ago, I had two friends of mine up there marrying. These two guys loved each other. I mean, they was just like that. They was just like brothers. They helped each other all the time. When we had the choir sing, they'd go and stand right beside each other in the choir. Their wives were friends. They was always over at each other's house. Real good buddies. Real good buddies. When one of them had to have a roof on his house, the other would take up, just helped each other out. Put a roof on his house. Put a roof on his house. He had a shed need to be tore down. "I'll meet you over there Saturday." They worked. They was just good, close buddies like that. And then one day I got to noticing that they wasn't singing in the choir. And I got to noticing they wasn't even sitting near each other. And I got to notice, "Man, what's going on?" And one of them turned to me and he said, "You need to have a talk to them." And I said, "Well, what's wrong? You just need to sit down and talk to him." So I went over to the other and I said, "Man, is there something happening between y'all?" He said, "It sure has. You need to straighten him out." I said, "Now look, guys, I don't know what's going on, but he said you're wrong and you said him wrong. Let's go in here and talk about it." They said, "All right." We went up in we were in the choir room, and we sat down like this, and I set him down there and him down right there. Now, I ain't never took a class on counseling, but I've listened to preachers, and I've learned how to do it, but just common sense, trying to figure it out and going by what the Bible says. And what I do when I counsel is I say, and I advise this for anybody, I say, "Everybody hush, you speak your piece, and you hush, let him speak his piece. Nobody interrupts each other, and then I'm going to take the Bible, and we'll say what's right by the Word of God. And we'll try to make peace here, an arbitrator, like a go-between, like a David, I'm an arbitrator between them two." Well, they sat down, and I said, "Now look, what's the problem here?" And I said, "Speak your piece, now don't you say a word, all right?" He said, "All right." And he said, "Brother Danny, it's like this." He said, he let me borrow him something amount like $4,000, pretty much money. And he said, he let me borrow $4,000. I was needing it to pay some bills. And he said he told me I could just pay him back whenever I needed to or how I needed to, take as long as I needed to, or I didn't even have to pay it. And he said, "I've given him a little bit. I've given him a little bit here and there." And he spoke his piece. And I said, "All right, are you done?" He went on for about 5 minutes. I said, "Okay, now you talk." And the other guy said, "Preacher, that ain't really exactly the way it happened." He said, "I let him borrow that money with the understanding he's going to pay me back. And he ain't paid me back, but I think $1,000, we'll just say, $1,000. So there's still $3,000 there they're mad about." And he said, I said, "Now wait a minute. You really believe that he told you if you couldn't pay it back not to worry about it?" He said, "That's right." "You really believe that he's supposed to pay it back?" He said, "That's right." And both of them really believed that they was right. It was just a misunderstanding. And I thought, and I'm praying, while they're talking, I'm praying. I always do that. When I'm in your marriage counseling, while they're talking, I'm praying, "Lord, help me now. Lord, help me. Remember that. Lord, help me remember that." And I'm building my case while they're talking. I'm done. I've done got them figured out before they're wrong, before they get through, most of the time. And I've got scripture and everything. Fire right back. Well, while he's talking, I was praying, and I was sitting there, and I said, "All right, let's do this." I remembered Solomon, the wise man Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. And I said, "I remember what Solomon done. If I'm going to be a wise man," and I said, "All right, you paid him 1,000. That leaves 3, right?" They said, "Yeah." I said, now look, guys, you guys have been together for years and years and years. I said, my goodness, y'all's friend, y'all went fishing together. Y'all went hunting together. You know, is your friendship really, really worth $3,000? Surely it's worth more than that. And they was both looking at the ground like that. I said, we got a $3,000 separating y'all. I said, I tell you what, let's do. Let's say $1,500. You paying $1,500 and let's forget about it. Is that all right with you? He looked around like that, you know, looked around like that, you know, and said, all right, I'll pay $1,500. And the other, I said, looked at him and he said, all right, all right. I said, shake hands. They met right there and shook hands, and he paid him $1,500 as he could, and brother, they became best friends again, just like that right there. Listen, you know what? If you got something between you and somebody else, go to the pastor, go to somebody, and let's get it settled. Let's get it settled. Don't walk around and say, uh-oh, there they are. I'm going to go around this way. When we're shaking hands, I got to make sure I'm over here on this side of church when they're over. Don't live like that. I know people that won't even speak to each other because of business deal. Or they, you know, you sold me that refrigerator and it tore up the next day. You know that it's going to tear up, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And listen, brother, that life's too short for that. If you got something between you and somebody, go to them like a man. Like a Christian, sit down and say, look, let's talk. Let's get this settled. You say, well, I can't do it. They got too bad of a temper. Come to me. Well, I'll do it for you. We'll put them down like this. I'll be the arbitrator, and we'll sit down. Life is too short to have hard feelings towards somebody. Make it right with each other this evening. Say amen right there. All right. Number three. How about putting this on your shopping list? Be a better husband or a better wife. Honey, what would you like for Christmas this year? Oh, I don't know. Whatever you want to give me. I can't get in touch with my feminine side. I ain't got one. Amen. Them men make me sick saying they're getting in touch with their feminine side. If you got a feminine side, you're a pervert. Amen. Man's supposed to be a man, and a woman's supposed to be a woman. Anyway, she says, I don't know. He says, I know what I'm going to give you this year. She says, what? He said, a better husband. Don't raise your hand. Ladies, how many of you would be thrilled if your husband just came up and said, honey, here's what you're getting this year. Money can't buy this. I'm going to start treating you like the Bible says for me to treat you. I'm going to try to watch my mouth. I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to try not to be a smart aleck. I'm going to try to take your feelings into consideration. I'm going to try to listen when you talk for 3 hours. I'm going to try to act like I care. I'm going to try to... Well, I've done messed it up, ain't I? I'm going to... You know what I'm talking about. I mean, I'm going to try to be a better husband. Say amen right there. Wouldn't that be a good gift, Ben? Try to be a better husband. You say, well, I don't know how. Look at Jesus. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. Had a man tell me, you don't know who I'm talking about. They don't go to this church. They don't live in this town, so don't try to figure it out. Man told me this weekend, he said, I have absolutely no feelings for my wife anymore. He said, we don't even sleep in the same bed. He said, she sleeps in yonder. I sleep in here. Kids is grown. He said, I have no feelings for her at all. And I said, I tell you what you do. I said, you love her like Christ loved the church. You be good to her. Listen, your marriage ain't about feelings. Your marriage is about a commitment. That's why we get married and make a commitment. Because if you got married and unmarried and married and unmarried every time you felt like it, there wouldn't nobody stay married. Marriage ain't about feelings. It's about a commitment you make to God and each other. And if you made that commitment, God will hold it, hold you accountable for it one day. And if your feelings ain't right, act right, whether you feel it. Listen, I don't always feel like preaching. I don't always feel like praying. You know, I just don't feel it, and I don't want to be a hypocrite. Oh, I believe it'd be all right for you to go ahead and preach your wife right, even when you don't feel like it, you self-centered brat. I'm telling you something, brother. Make up your mind you're going to do right and treat her like a woman and be good to her. You say, well, if she look the way she does me, preacher. I understand. We're getting there. We're getting there in a minute. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, like that woman said one time, she come up and the little boy's acting like he was having a wedding. He said, "Do you take this man for your awful wedded husband?" The little boy said that. That's probably the way it is sometimes. Lady's getting married one time. The preacher said, "Do you take him for better or for worse and all that?" She said, "Lord, preacher, said he can't get no worse. There ain't no hope for him getting no better. I'll just take him as he is." Yeah, man, you ought to just take them as they are, amen? Your wife ain't perfect, your husband ain't perfect, but you take them as they are. Now, if they're cheating on you or beating you or something like that, then kick them to the curb with God's blessings on you. Amen? But if you're married and God's give you a good husband or a good wife, give them a good husband for Christmas. Wife, write him a card. "Dear John," don't rhyme with "Dear John." "Dear so-and-so, I love you, and for Christmas this year, I'm going to give you a better wife." You can't, ladies, you can't sow disrespect and reap respect. You can't fuss at him every time he walks in the door and talk down to him and talk to him like he's 5 years old and expect him. I mean, you lady, you want to be treated like a queen, but you don't want to live like no queen. And you know that's right. You want him to treat you like Queen Elizabeth, but you want to live like one of the Kardashians. You want to have an attitude like somebody on The View that you saw on Desperate Whore Wives, and you don't want to live right, but you expect him to treat you like royalty. It don't work that way. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. Same way with a husband. Why? You want her to respect you, men? Treat her right. It works both ways. It works both ways. Amen? Tell him, "I'm going to be a better wife, honey." I'll tell you something about you ladies. Here's most of y'all's attitude. They say, "Well, I don't mind submitting my husband, but now when he starts this, now I am..." What you mean, translated? I submit to him as long as I agree with what he's saying. Boy, that's a real submission. But if I disagree with him, I don't do it. Because he ain't got no right to tell me something I disagree with. Now, the truth is, according to the Bible, God said, "Wives, submit yourself to your husbands as unto the Lord." Am I right or am I wrong? Am I preaching the Bible or am I not? Don't you say, "Well, you're just saying that because you're the man." I'm not saying it because I'm a man. You're full of the devil. I'm saying it because it's in the Bible. If you think I'm saying that because I'm a man, you're full of the devil. I ain't. I'm saying it because it's right. And if a woman will say, "You know what? Look, people. It don't take a genius to figure this out. Both of you can't be the boss. When two people trying to be the boss, you ain't going to do nothing but fight. And when you fight all the time, there's one problem. Both of you wants to run the show. And anything with two heads is a monster. Anything with two heads is a monster. I don't care what it is. If it's church, if it's where you work, if it's a business, if it's a grocery store, if it's a cafe, if it's a laundromat, if it's a beauty salon, somebody in there is the boss. One lady told me, she said, "Well, neither one of us is the boss. It's 50-50. Mm-hmm. Go tell that to your senile grandma. There ain't no such thing as 50-50. Somebody's the boss. Lady told me, she said, "We talk things out. Yeah, we know you do. You keep on and on and on and on until he finally does what you want him. That's what you mean." One lady does this. "I think we need to buy that house. What do you think about buying that house?" He says, "Honey, we can't afford that house." "But don't you think it'd be nice if we had that house? I believe we could afford it. Don't you think?" And he says, "Honey, I really don't think. But don't you think," I mean, she won't kiss him. She won't be nice to him till he agrees to buy that house. And then she goes to church and says, "My husband decided we ought to buy this house and I'm going to follow him." God's going to get people like that. I had an aunt and uncle like that. Carrie knows what I'm talking about. Lord have mercy. I was with them one time, and they was going in California.
I was preaching in California. My aunt and uncle lived out there. They was driving up the road, and she was sitting there saying, call his name. Turn in. Slow down. No, right up here. Turn. I mean, there's traffic everywhere and cars. Man, if there's, look, anybody knows me, I can't stand somebody trying to tell me how to drive. Amen. I mean, he's backseat driving. I mean, and nobody does. Nobody. No, I tell you what, I can't stand. I told somebody, I can't stand somebody getting in my car and start turning buttons. Start messing with the radio. Look, if I'm going to buy that car and pay for it, I'm going to set the heat and I'm going to say, well, the radio's on or not. If you want to change it, buy your own car, put it wherever you want to. I used to have some of them teenagers get in a car, and they'd get in the car with me, and they'd start turning the radio. I said, don't you think you should ask? That's like going into somebody's house, opening a refrigerator, and getting your Pepsi out of it. You ask somebody, do you care if I turn the heat on? Do you care if I adjust this? Would you mind if I roll the window down? It's their car. Where's your respect? Would you raise the barn? You have no respect for nobody's stuff. How'd I get off on that? Oh, yeah. She's going down the road. When I ride with you, anybody in here, when I ride with you, I sit down in your car. If it's hot, I'll just sit there and tough it out, take my jacket off or whatever. And you say, are you hot? Yes. I was hoping, thought you'd never ask. That's the way I do if I ride with you. I don't get in there and say, it's hot. You're going too fast. Slow down. This is a better way. Well, get out. I wouldn't blame you if you told me to get out. That's right. Walk, bless God. Amen. Show people some respect. You reap what you sow. Well, anyway, she kept saying, turn here. Turn there. And I was sitting there saying, how he stands that, I do not know. I mean, it was bumper to bumper traffic. And I mean, horns are blowing and everything. And finally, this mild-mannered man took it for about 45 minutes. And her name was Kathy. I know y'all know who it is. And he just stopped and he said, shut up, Kathy. And I went like, I'm not saying you should tell your mate to shut up, but I tell you, I almost heard the Lord say, amen. I felt like the Lord said, good job, buddy. I'm telling you, there ain't no sense of sitting there tormenting somebody, bossing them around when you ain't even driving. How in the world did I get off on all that? What was I talking about? Anyway. Oh, yeah. You ladies, some of you ladies, you have no business being married. I don't know why you got married. You didn't marry a man to complete him. You didn't say, well, I think I can help him in his life. You thought, I'm just going to marry him to see what I can get out of him. If you married for that reason, you married the wrong way. For the wrong reason. You don't marry somebody to see what you can get out of. You marry them. They need me. I'm going to help them. And both of you feel like that, and it'll work. Better husband or wife. I'll say this, and I'm through. How about this for Christmas this year? Be a witness to a lost soul. It is estimated that 95% of all church members never win one soul to Jesus their entire life. Never. I bet I could embarrass you tonight, and I won't. Give tracts. They said a little lady years ago used to stand out on the streets of Chicago and brave the cold, giving out gospel tracts to men to come to the Pacific Garden Mission there in Chicago. You've heard that Unshackled program? It's still on. Man, that's always been one of the greatest radio programs ever produced, was Unshackled. Man, they got some testimonies on there. It's amazing. And Billy Sunday was a baseball player, held the record for running the bases the fastest, run barefooted. They'd let you run barefooted back in them days, in the 40s. He'd hit the ball running barefooted, could outrun anybody in the National League around the bases in baseball, and went to Pacific Garden Mission and got saved by the grace of God. And Billy Sunday led the nation as the greatest evangelist in America up until the time Billy Graham started. The great Billy Sunday crusade, they said Billy Sunday, and that was before the days of TV and big time, they'd build a brush harbor and stuff like that, and they said he shook hands with over 1 million souls right in his hand that walked that sawdust trail. That's a preacher, buddy. That's a preacher. Sunday, I'll tell you, he'd run back and forth, back there, and he'd break chairs, he'd wind up preaching in his undershirt.
He'd be soaking wet, and his britches leg rolled up, and his jacket off. And they said, I mean, he was wild. I mean, he'd preach like that. He preached against liquor. He preached against alcohol so much. Preached against sin. Billy Sunday was one of the greatest preachers that's ever been in this generation. They said he wrote his notes in big old letters like that right there. And somebody said, why do you write your notes in such big letters? He said, so I greet them when I run past the pulpit. Son, that old boy was a preacher. And he got saved because one woman just went out and gave out tracts. Here's what you can do. Here's some tracts. These ain't real tracts, but I'm going to act like they are. We'll go out in front of them. You see them guys get out there and do that? Who says we can't get out there and do that? Ain't no law against it, are there? Here you are, sir. Merry Christmas. Here you are, sir. Merry Christmas. Here you are, ma'am. Merry Christmas. Here you are, sir. Merry Christmas. Oh, there's a real track. Somebody goofed. Somebody angry. Amen. I wish you'd shut up for that thing. It's getting on my nerves. Theirs does, too, when I go to Walmart. I don't know what they're out there doing, taking up money for kids or something like that. They're always like it right there. But this is Christmas. This is the best time of year to witness. Here you go. People won't hardly turn down a Christmas tract. Stand out there and be a witness. Let's do that Saturday morning. Saturday morning we're going to meet. You say, oh, I've got so much to do Saturday, and I've just got all these Christmas parties, and I got all... Oh, come on now. Come on now. You can take a little time for Jesus, can't you? It's His birthday we're supposed to be celebrating. Let's go on bus route Saturday. Let's knock on somebody's door. Let's give something to the Lord for Christmas. Man said, some people love the kid, like kids out there in sin, but don't hate the dirt. They love the kid, but don't hate the dirt, like the sin that they're in. And then there's some of these self-righteous Christians that hate the dirt, but don't love the kid. You know anybody like that? Oh, I can't believe how wicked and sorry they are, but won't even go tell them about the Lord. They hate the dirt, but don't love the kid. Some people love the kid and hate the dirt. And the kid's going to stay dirty till somebody does both. The kid's going to stay dirty till somebody loves the kid and hates the dirt. What are you going to do for the Lord this year for Christmas? Let's stand, bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eyes closed. Our heads are bowed tonight and eyes are closed. Maybe it's brother-in-law. Maybe it's somebody in your family. I don't know. You need to witness to it. Maybe you might want to help with the buses or go on bus route Saturday or whatever. Just slip.